Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
And in case you're going through a very dark season in your life, you don't know whether you're going or you're coming, and things just seem so confusing, I just want to say to you, sooner or later, things are going to turn around for you. I just want to give you that hope and say it's not always going to stay the way it is. Things are bound to change. Remember, in his word, he has said that all things, not just some things, not good things, but all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and that are called according to his purpose. So take heart today, because things are definitely going to turn around for you. It's not a maybe, but it's a guarantee. Very good afternoon to you, and a warm welcome to Radio Pulpit. It's a Wednesday's edition of Heart to Heart, and my name is Lukom Kwedi Phuthi, and I'm absolutely excited to be with you once again. Now, you know, every single Wednesday, and trust me, soon enough, Thursdays as well, we pretty much start off the program with prayer, with the word, and just feasting on what the word of God says. And so today is not any different. It's definitely a fave. It's definitely a fave. And so this afternoon, Word Fest, a festival of the word and getting to understand it. I don't know about you, but it has groomed me. Pastor Moyo is back in studio with me this afternoon to have that festival of the word with us. Mvundis, good afternoon and welcome back.
Good afternoon, Sis Luko. How are you? And greetings to all our listeners at home, at work, on the roads, everywhere.
I'm good, Mvundis. I'm good. And I hope you are as well, because I can see you looking all dapper today.
I am blessed.
All dapper.
I am blessed.
It's that time of the week again where we get to digest on the word of God.
Amen.
You know what I'm really also liking?
Amen.
You share the word in the pulpit at your church. And
yes,
fortunately, a lot of your congregants get to listen to the program.
Yes.
And
yes,
and for things that they could not necessarily understand.
Yes.
On a particular Sunday.
Yes.
You know, and they're hearing this word preached again. They're like, yo. Because I must tell you guys, I always said to Mfundisi, I don't want you just preparing something for us. We want that full-on blasted word.
Amen.
That you share on Sunday. So for things that you couldn't understand, this is an opportunity for you to say, Mfundisi, but what does this really mean?
Amen.
What does it mean?
Amen.
Make a comment. He's here to answer all of that. We are here to hold you accountable.
Amen. Also, to add on what you are saying, I always teach them at church that we must not get used to the vessel of God. Familiarity is poisonous.
Yep, yep.
And also the graces of each day are not the same.
Yep.
Hence, there is his mercies are new every morning. So each and every mercy season goes with its prophetic word as well. So every day there is a new prophetic word for a believer, you know. So it helps a lot. So I tell them that you can sense, even if you are spiritually connected, the way I reveal certain things here on Radio Pulpit,
it's not the same.
It's not the same as in the church.
Yep.
Because even though the Holy Spirit is one, but the Holy Spirit, he knows his target market.
Come on.
Right now, I'm in a different platform where I am being listened to nationally.
Yep, yep.
As I told you, that there is a pastor from Mount Elif in Eastern Cape.
Internationally as well,
and,
by the way.
And also pastors from KZN.
Yep.
A lot of them, the same Mfundis, we enjoy listening. Even on Facebook, we go to your preachings.
Wow.
We go to your teachings, because you are teaching substance. You see. So all I'm trying to say that the audience is different.
Very.
There are bishops who are listening right now, who are my seniors.
Say that again.
There are pastors who are my seniors who are listening right now. You see, so the level of articulance is different.
It's not necessarily the
it's
same.
Not the same. So the Holy Spirit knows the target market at this point in juncture.
And I think if one knows what's best for them, even if it would sound like it's the same, you better listen, because
yes,
there's a lot of new and different revelations,
amen,
that are still to come.
Amen.
With Wednesday.
Amen.
Finis, let me give over to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Sis Luko. I want us to look into something that is very imperative. You know, I like the way we engage on Wednesday's sessions. It's more like we are digesting. It's more like a Bible study kind of a conversation, you know, because people get to ask certain questions even on our WhatsApp line, and they get clarity as well. So today I want us to look at how God operates. How God operates. This is one of the ways. It's not the only way.
All right.
This is one of the ways because God is multifaceted. But with the experience in ministry and working with God, I have realized that there is a pattern that God utilizes, which is very consistent from the Old Testament to the New Testament Bible patriarchs. Now I want you to read the verses that I just sent you now.
Okay.
Please read them, and then we will go verse by verse and extrapolate from what we have read.
All right.
Yes.
So Deuteronomy 6:23, and I'm reading from the King James Version, says, "And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers." Deuteronomy 7:1. "When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you are entering to possess, and has plucked away many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you." Deuteronomy 8:1 says, "Carefully obey every command I give you today. Then you will live and grow in number, and you will enter and take the land the Lord promised your ancestors." Deuteronomy 8:3. "He took away your pride when he let you get hungry. And then he fed you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had ever seen."
Maybe let's go back to Deuteronomy 8:2 before verse 3.
Okay. 8:2. Let me quickly do this. Get my Bible. Deuteronomy 8:2, you say?
Yes.
Right. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not."
Can you also read it in this version that I have sent you now?
Okay. It says, "Remember how the Lord your God has led you in the desert for these 40 years, taking away your pride and testing you, because he wanted to know what was in your heart. He wanted to know if you would obey his commandments." His commands.
Yes.
So then we go back to verse 3.
Yes.
"He took away your pride when he let you get hungry, and then he fed you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had ever seen. This was to teach you that a person does not live on bread alone, but by everything the Lord says." Exodus 13:17. "When Pharaoh let the people go, God led them not by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was nearer. For God said, lest the people change their purpose when they see war and return to Egypt.
Mm. So today I want us to look at this. There is two ways in life. Now remember, when God took them out of Egypt,
okay,
to the promised land, that's why where we read it says God he brought us out so that he can bring us in.
All right,
so when God takes you out of somewhere or something, he has already made provision available for you to get into something.
All right.
When you go out from poverty, he has already laid the platform of wealth for you.
Mm-hmm.
When he takes you out from sickness, he has already made provision for health.
Mm-hmm.
When God takes you out of the ignorance, foolishness dimension, he has already made available wisdom
and knowledge,
for you. So whenever God gets you out from something, there is always provision for you.
All right.
So this is a promise that God gives to the children of Israel. When he takes them, this is journey of the children of Israel. It is covered mainly by those two books.
Okay.
You know, Deuteronomy, Exodus. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So now we are looking at how God now operates. I said this is one of the ways.
All right.
He has many ways. Now look at this. Somebody listening to me, you will realize that it might, one way they were or the other, you fall under this category of people that I'm going to mention throughout.
Mm.
Because it's a pattern that God uses. Now he takes them out of Egypt after 430 years of oppression, captivity, hardship, and all these challenges of life. Now he promises them to take them to Canaan.
All right.
A journey, when you look at it geographically, from Egypt to Canaan, it's about 800 kilometers,
mm-hmm.
which could have taken about 14 to 20 days,
yes.
depending. But I would say maximum 20 days because there is resting in between.
Yes.
So now that 20 days journey escalated to 40 years.
Not 40 days, not 40 months.
Not 40 days, not 40 months.
Sure.
40 years. Now, Pastor Moyo, what are you saying? Now, it's either you choose one of the ways in life.
Mm.
It's either you choose the way to fight through the Philistines, or you choose the way which is the longest route where God has to test your heart before he gives you.
Mm.
There were two routes
to take.
The easier one, the Bible says there was an easier route that God could have taken Israel to the promised land.
Mm.
But there was a challenge, there was a predicament. There were Philistines in that route, positioned in that route. And
okay.
Philistines have always been an enemy of the children of Israel.
Mm.
So now God sees them, because there's nothing that God doesn't know about you.
Mm.
Somebody sitting, you are frustrated, you are depressed, you are stressed, or you are excited, you are happy, you are rejoicing, you are celebrating. It's not a surprise to God.
Mm.
God knows everything. So now God perceives their mind, their heart, everything, their thinking, their logic. He says, if I take them via this route, that there is Philistines on the way.
Mm.
They don't have the capacity to fight.
Mm.
They are not willing to fight to get to where they want to get in life.
Yeah.
There are people who are like that.
Mm.
They want everything to happen, just happen.
Yeah.
When you are in church, just come, sit down, worship God. God will do it for me.
Mm. They don't want to lift a finger.
You understand? Mm. It doesn't work like that.
Mm.
In as much as preachers make it sounds easier, because preachers, they are close to motivational speakers. Mm. there is a little of revelation. Remember, revelation comes by teaching.
Mm.
You see. But preaching has everything to do with encouragement and hope.
True, true.
You shall move in power. You understand?
Mm.
Preaching has got too many promises.
It's motivational in nature.
You understand? Mm. There's too many promises, but the how part is not really explained along the line that, wait.
Yeah.
You know, a preacher can suppress the whole 40-year journey into 30 minutes. Very fireful, very powerful, ecstatic, and it can change the environment right now. And you can feel like it, that, you know what, this thing is going to happen now.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Mm.
It's good. Yes, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's good. We need that. But there must be teachers also accommodated in each and every ministry that are going to sit people down to say, look, if it doesn't happen now,
don't
be discouraged. You must understand that this is a journey.
Mm.
So now, there are two ways to this success journey. It's either you take the route where you need to fight. Paul talks about fighting. He says, fight the good fight of faith. In other words, Paul is giving us an epiphany that in this life, you need to be wise.
Mm.
In as much as you are fighting, but you must not fight a physical fight.
Mm.
And it discourages it again in the book of Ephesians. He says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, rulers, dominions, and wickedness in high places. So he mentions these categories of spirits that attacks humanity.
Okay.
You see. So life is a fight on its own. Life is spiritual.
Mm.
It's a bone of contention between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light to occupy a component called the soul.
Mm.
So now we need to understand and teach people that there are certain things that will come, but most of them, you need to fight them in faith, intellectually, financially, in giving and offering and in tithing. That's a weapon to fight.
Mm.
In prayer services, when they call prayer services in your church, don't say, it's for intercessors, I'll see you next time, I'm busy. Then you are glued in programs that only put money for those that you are watching, not you. You are just wasting your time watching generations. Because there's no money that is coming in.
Mm.
It's just entertainment.
Yeah.
You understand? Mm. In as much as it's good, but it all depends. I've never seen a multi-millionaire. They don't even know what those soapies are like.
They don't have time
have time for that. They don't have time for that.
Mm.
You see? So sometimes we need to say these truths as they are. If you are a man of God, a pastor, you need to package well your messages as well.
Mm.
So that tomorrow, even a CEO and a director, a teacher and a nurse can come and sit under your ministry and say, I can hear this man.
He's worth listening
to. He's worth listening to. He's worth investing my money. He's worth even taking my tithes to. Because whatever he says, it comes to pass.
Mm.
Because your knowledge comes with effectiveness. So now the other route, if you don't want to fight, if you are not a fighter by nature, you want things to just happen for you, then you must know God is going to test your heart.
Sure.
You remember where we read, the Bible says, I took you for 40 years. Not because it was not, I couldn't take you there in a short period of time.
Mm.
But God says, I had to test your humbleness, your pride level, your pride dimension. First, I had to test you.
Mm.
So what cannot be tested cannot be trusted.
Say that again. Mm.
God tests everything. What cannot be tested cannot be trusted. That is why even the manufacturers, in every manufacturing plant, there is what we call quality assurance. Mm. This is where they test
the product,
the longevity of the project, the durability of the product, the quality of the product.
Yeah, I've seen them even test cars.
Everything
product
that you
that
see.
Expensive.
Yes. It has to be tested.
Mm.
Everything must be tested.
Sure.
So, woe unto you if you do not want to fall between the two. You don't want to fight spiritually. You don't want to, if you don't want to fight, then you fall under this category.
That will be tested.
Because God cannot take you to that land called Canaan if he hasn't dealt with your pride.
Mm.
Because you, the moment you reach the other side of the world, of riches and wealth,
whoa,
if you carry on with your pride, then you will label everyone as a lazy person, or you won't be even a good listener. Every time when somebody speaks, you want to interrupt them because you are the clever man in the room.
Yep.
You see, you don't have listening skills. You want to talk, you want to talk. No one else can talk when you are there.
Because you know better.
You know better. You understand. Remember, when ignorance speaks, it becomes the new knowledge. When ignorance speaks,
it becomes the new knowledge.
So now, God, because he had promised them, either way, whether the shortest route or the longest route, he still has to test you. He still has to take you through the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Deuteronomy 6, verse 23, there's something that I want us to look at as well. A promise is made by God that he's going to take them out and take them in.
Okay.
Now, I want you to understand that now when he says that, he says, I'm doing this because I saw to your forefathers that I'll get them there.
Sure.
But they never tasted the grapes of Canaan.
Mm.
You see, so there are other generational blessings that God in this season is going to activate them for this generation.
Mm.
There are certain things that you are going to receive even though you did not deserve. But because God promised your mother, your father, or your forefather that thing, and it did not happen, it did not transpire
in
their time. God says he's going to fulfill it in your time.
Mm.
So you are going to be an answered prayer.
You're going to be a beneficiary.
You are going to be, exactly, that's the right word. You are going to be a beneficiary of these blessings which are generational.
Amen.
Most of the times, people focus more on fighting generational cases. We know a lot about generational cases, but less about generational blessings.
Say that again.
So we need to understand now that we have what we call generational blessings, in as much as there is what we call generational cases. So we need to follow generational blessings. We need to follow generational. Don't spend your life fighting cases, focusing on cases. By the time you are exhausted, you are dying.
And you've missed all the blessings.
And you have missed all the blessings.
Sure.
Because your focus is in fighting generational cases. So I'm saying to somebody today, there is something that you have to fight for this season, is generational blessings. Claim them.
Come on.
And God is going to make them come to pass in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Some of people who are listening to me here, your forefathers once had businesses. There were cows here. There was agriculture. There was a lot of things that was happening here. But all those things, they just went down the drain. God is saying, I'm resuscitating those generational blessings.
Amen.
I'm taking you to Canaan, the land that I promised your forefathers.
Talk about restitution.
Yes.
He's restituting everything the enemy had stolen.
Yes. Yes. Now, there's something that God says, now when we look at Deuteronomy 7 verse 1. God speaks about the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites. These are different types of tribes and nationalities that were in Canaan. Now, I want to tell somebody somewhere right now that God is not stranded. What you are crying for and praying for, somebody is already enjoying it.
Sure.
Where God was taking the children of Israel, there were people who were already enjoying that lifestyle. So it's not difficult for God.
It's not a new phenomenon. Yes,
so I'm trying to align somebody's prayer life to not pray so desperately in that way that you feel like even for God it's difficult to make it happen. It might be difficult for you because you lack that funding and that finance part to or capital to actualize your dream. But in actual fact, God has many people who are in that realm already.
Yeah.
There are people who are filthy rich that are not even counted in the organogram of people who are rich in this country. But they are there.
They're living their low lives.
They are there. What you are crying for, what you are praying for, somebody is already there.
It's their reality.
Somebody is crying to be out of debts. Lord, make me out of debts. Yes. Lord. There is somebody who just paid off their debts today. Today, as we speak, they just settled their debts. They just said, at least finally. Somebody did it last week. Somebody just last month. Somebody in November. So whatever you want to become, somebody is already there. Somebody is already there.
A testament of God's ability, actually.
Amen. Amen. So now there's something again that I want somebody to understand. God is also good in replacing. God is good in replacing.
Expand, Mfundis. Expand on that. I see where that
The Hittites, the Hivites, the Canaanites, they didn't see it coming. That one day, this life that they are living is going to be given to somebody else. Never make mockery of somebody who is down. At least they are already down. The only way is up.
Exactly.
You who is up there, life can change anytime. That is why if you are up there and you are given a chance and a privilege, help others.
Be a blessing.
Be a blessing so that tomorrow, even if you are dead, there must be people who must come running to Jesus and say, this one built a temple for us. He can't die. This one is Dorcas.
For their sake, Lord.
This one is Dorcas. Apostle Peter, please, this one cannot die. Tabitha cannot die. Because you see us, we are very beautiful. We are looking beautiful. We are wearing apparel, not even clothes, apparel. All the widows at that time, they came to Apostle Peter. They said, no, raise her up.
Yep.
We are who we are because of that woman.
Sure.
You understand what I'm trying to say. But don't be like a rich fool. The Bible says he used to treat Lazarus in a very cruel way.
Sure.
Because he didn't see it coming that life can change.
Yeah.
At some point, tables turned. And he was asking the same Lazarus who was eating from the crumbs that falls from his table. He was saying, please, can you at least tell him, Lazarus, to go down and tell my brothers that please repent, do right while you are still on earth. Because where I am right now, I don't wish anyone to come this side. Life can change.
It can change.
Remember the story of Vashti, who was the queen to King Ahasuerus in the book of Esther. Vashti was so pompous. The Bible says King Ahasuerus had a feast for almost 3 months that went on. He was parading his spoils, everything that God had given unto him, his leisures, his wealth. It took him 3 months. Then after 3 months, he wanted to show the whole world that he had a beautiful wife. So he called for Vashti to come. And then Vashti, because of pride, she said, no, we are busy with our own programs with other women.
Yes.
We are busy.
With our own things. Don't disturb us.
I can't come there. Just tell my husband to continue with whatever he's doing. I'm supporting him. Little did she know that it was not actually the husband who wanted her to lose that lifestyle. There were chieftaincy, there were leaders, there were advisors to the king who said, but oh king, should you allow this kind of a behavior to persist and actually to actualize in this realm, then even our wives will become arrogant. We will never...
Exactly. They've got nothing to learn.
You understand? Our wives will react the same way. Make this one a public spectacle that when a man speaks, a woman must listen.
Sure.
And on that day, the king had no choice because he was embarrassed publicly.
Mm.
He was forced now to release Vashti from a queen to a street lady.
Sure.
She was seen the following day on the streets out of the palace. The same woman who was busy with her programs, a rich woman.
Had no programs to be busy with.
There was no program. She didn't realize that these programs are there because of this man. You understand? So life can change anytime. So people are replaceable. Us, even us as pastors, we are easily replaceable. Should we play with this thing that God has given us? God can choose
somebody
else. Look at the prophet Elijah. Very quick, when he was complaining, no, I'm the only prophet who is left. Lord, if I can die, it's better if I can die. Then God said, no, listen, young man. Inasmuch as I'm using you so powerful that you can close the firmament for 3.5 years, you do wonders, it is because of me. But listen, I have 7,000 prophets who do not know cult, who do not know traditional healers. We have never bowed to Baal. We have never gone to false prophets and nyangas and sangomas.
Sure.
They are very clean and pure. They are waiting right now to take your position. And with immediate effect, God said, look now, go and anoint Elisha. Let him take your position. It's written. God says it bluntly. He says, go and anoint Elisha. He's going to take your position.
Yeah. You're going to go and anoint somebody who's about to take your job.
You understand.
You are now forced to go train someone who's going to take your
job.
That
is why Elijah was very arrogant. When he got there, he found the young man. He's plowing. He's in the field. Instead of telling him, my man, God said I must give you my position. He became awkward. The whole exchange, the pattern, the relaying of this thing was not done properly. He just took his effort. He just hit the young man and went. He never said anything. And the young man had to fill up the puzzle that, okay.
What's happening here?
What's happening? Okay, this is a big man. We all know Elijah. We love him. Let me just follow him. He said, man, I'm following you. Little did he know that he's not supposed to follow Elijah. He's taking over. He's taking over. And Elijah is not being truthful to the young man that God has told me.
This is why I'm here.
This is why I'm here. You are taking over my position. Now he makes this journey difficult for this young man so that he can be discouraged along the journey of his calling.
Yeah.
He says, if this thing that you are asking from me is difficult. How is it difficult when God has already told you that go and anoint this man? So there's nothing to be difficult about here. You are just being jealous. You see, now I'm being prophetic. Those who are seniors, they can hear what I'm trying to say right now. You understand? So this thing was supposed to be a good exchange. To say, okay, let me show you the ropes. Let me show you how this thing is done. Let me show you how this, how the spirituality operates. You see, now he says, whenever you see me taken, that's where you're going to receive this thing. So in other words, my life has to be stuck with you until you die. Mm. So this thing, I can't get it until you die.
You die.
This is what we are experiencing right now. Mentals are not transferred properly.
Mm.
You understand?
Sure.
But I'm not there. I don't know why the Holy Spirit is leading us to that, but I'm not there. If it was a pastor's conference.
I know I needed to hear it.
If it was a pastor's conference or a leadership conference, I would say that. If there is a boss who is harassing you left, right, and center, it's because there is something that he or she knows about you that you don't know.
Mm.
They see greatness in you. That way, now you see yourself as a, you know, inferiority complex. Mm. But they know, and God has told them that this one, you need to train them to take your position. But because they don't want to leave that seat, they would rather retire at 75.
Sure.
You understand?
And frustrate you
to leave.
Thinking there's no growth.
Yes, in this company.
Yeah.
No, they frustrate you until you leave. Then when you leave, you have missed your position and your opportunity.
Sure.
You see. So now, but we are going to continue properly next week, you know.
Mm.
We are going to, because I still have got a lot of things that God's favor ain't fair.
Yep.
You see, God takes the children of Israel to a well-established place where there are people living there.
Mm.
They have got their structures, systems in place.
Mm.
But God says, you are going there to take over.
Sure.
Non-negotiable. You are going there in Canaan. Whether there is somebody living there, you are going to take over. Whether there is somebody occupying that office, you are going to take over. This is a season of taking over.
Mm.
And don't be unapologetic when God gives you. Yes, sometimes humanly we feel it's unfair.
Especially how
are people going to say, now I'm taking her position or his position, but there's too much No, but God is giving to you. He did that to the Hittites, Hivites, to the Moabites, to the Canaanites. He said, no, I'm driving them one by one out of this city, and I'm giving it to you. Because I saw to their forefathers that I'm going to give them this land.
So I have a promise to fulfill.
So in this season, I see a shifting.
Sure.
There is a shifting. There is a paradigm shift that is going to happen. Those that were under are going up.
Come on.
And God is doing that. It's his way. It's his system.
Mm.
We can't question that, because the children of Israel never questioned that. They didn't say, but who is staying there?
Yeah.
Who is owning there?
Mm.
You see. But God says, I'm giving you that land. And when God gives you, it's yours.
Come on.
Don't be never be apologetic about your rising.
Mm.
Never be apologetic about your wealth. When God gives you that promotion, take it.
Mm.
When God gives you that opportunity, take it.
Mm.
Take it with both hands. Now, lastly, we are going to finish
next week,
definitely. We are going to finish next week. There is something that I want to elaborate here. When God makes the promise to the that I'm going to give you what I saw to your ancestors, we need to be cautious here, because I once heard somebody now confusing the verse. You know, here God is not referring to ancestral spirits. Let us draw a line here. This has nothing to do with ancestral spirits.
Mm.
Many people have been misled to say, no, if you go and bow to your ancestral spirits, they have wealth that God has promised them. So you are going to get the world via
them. Not from them.
You understand?
No.
When God when says ancestors, he's simply talking about the
those
genealogy.
Those who lived before you.
It's just the genealogy. It ends there. that your mother once prayed for this. That
I'm
one
now
day,
remembering you.
That one day she wants to drive a car. Mm. But she didn't drive that car. Now God is saying, I'm transferring that wealth to you. Mm. Those promises to you.
So you must know when you have that conversation, you're having a different conversation to the person you're speaking to. Because scripture is speaking of the one who lived before you.
Yes.
You are speaking of their spirit.
When you are talking, that's not the same thing.
It's not.
That's not the same thing. Mm. Now you are taking chances so that you can divert and derail this whole thing.
Yeah.
So that people now can go and bow down there and somewhere and say, Mama ngicela umsebenzi, wafunga sebenzi, wawunezifiso zokusebenza, manje nami ngicela lo msebenzi uhlale kimi. All those things. You understand,
Mus?
So I'm trying to clarify that, you see.
I'm so glad you did.
Thank you so much. I think for today I will stop here, but we are still continuing.
Mm.
Remember, we read many verses. We still have to go to Deuteronomy 8 verse 2 and go down.
Unpack it.
And unpack it. You see, that's why I told you that if I was a preacher, I was going to suppress this thing in 30 minutes.
Get it over and done.
Because I was going to tell you that you are coming from Egypt to Canaan. Siyangena namhlanje. Siyangena, siyangena, siyangena. You understand?
Yeah.
But I don't explain all these things along the way.
What it takes for you
kutungene. So that you don't get discouraged tomorrow, or you don't end up going for other options because ufuna ukuncedisa uNkulunkulu, you want to help God.
Sure.
When you meet the Philistines along the route to your success, the journey to your success, you don't become like the children of Israel. You backpedal, you take the longer route. Or you're like, no, God did not tell me about the Philistines. He says from Egypt to Canaan.
I'm going to
Canaan. Why are these Philistines? So which means you change even the church. Which means I'm in the wrong church.
Yeah.
This church is cursed. Why are they Philistines? Why am I fighting in this season?
Yeah.
Fighting is a journey of life.
Mm.
We are born fighters.
Sure.
Life on its own, bupilo kintwa.
Yes.
Life on its own is a fight.
Mm.
Some of you will tell you that for them to get their degrees, their diplomas, they fought to get that certificate because there was no money to pay that thing.
Mm-hmm.
They had to work extra hours at restaurants in textile industries so that they can pay their school fees.
Mm. And they lost so much along the way.
Exactly.
Sure.
You see, business people, there is in between that they cannot tell you.
Mm.
You see, because if they scare you about that part, You might not even want to go through that route.
Yeah.
That's why God, he says, I'm the beginning and the end. He doesn't want to tell you in between. Should he tell you about in between, there will be fights and deaths in between, there's casualties in this thing that you are pursuing, there's hatred, there's betrayal, there's rejection, you will end up saying, no, that's not for
me. You might not even begin the journey.
No, that's not for me. God, you said Egypt to Canaan. Come on. What is this now? So a preacher won't tell you these things. He says, "Pume kipit singene Canaan." Thank you so much. God bless you.
But is it? Thank you so much for your time, Ilana. Thank you for your message, Akanya. Thank you for the mind-opening word. I'm taking over in the name of Jesus. Pauline Lamini says, thank you, Pastor Moyo, for the teachings, and to the Queen. Tulile K says, may God help us to be able to fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
So thank you so much, family.
Thank you so much, Pauline. Thank you, Akanya. Thank you, Ilana. And thank you to my wife, Tulile, there. Thank you so much.
That's what I'm saying, the queen.
Amen.
The queen is in the house.
Amen.
And guess what, Mfundisi? I was just thinking, as you were saying time, I was like, hey, who's looking at time? Clearly, I wasn't looking at time. It's already time for the news by now. Thank you so much, Mfundisi, and God bless.
Thank you so much. Amen.
Reach your customers in the car, at the office, at home, or wherever they are, night or day. Through advertising with Radio Pulpit, you can reach a large, unique, and loyal audience in a most affordable way. With over 500,000 people on our various platforms, from Gauteng to the Cape, you simply cannot go wrong. So advertise today. Contact us on 012-334-1339. Or for advertising packages that we offer, go to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Terms and conditions apply.
Let Christ inspire your day. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, bringing the Word of God to you.